Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Cyber Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, Anthony Fauci says, "I am science," as Omicron becomes the latest weapon in diabolical global human experiment. Yep, that's where we are now. I voted for Donald Trump twice, but can anybody please tell me why he never fired Anthony Fauci when he had the chance to do so? Well, I'll tell you why. Because red is the wing on the right side, and blue is the wing on the left side. And these are two wings of the same bird that flies the corrupt body located in the middle. On Face the Nation on Sunday, a defiant Anthony Fauci said that he is science, and the opposition against him is, quote, just noise, end quote, as he laughed maniacally like the psychopath that he truly is. Gain-of-function Omicron and the dozen other variants they are ready to release won't stop until the whole world is vaccinated. Anthony Fauci is the science, and you were the experiment. Habakkuk 1:5 says, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." And man, we're telling you. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, Omicron crashed the stock market, sending it into a negative 1,005-point drop in less than 24 hours last week, as the latest weapon against humanity has been released. Anthony Fauci wasted no time in telling everybody that the new lockdowns are coming as racist travel bans are put in place against Africa, and a pathetic state of emergency is now being called by state after state across America and across Europe. This is what life is like on day 626 of 15 days to flatten the curve, also a Donald Trump creation. Remember how we told you that all this was never going to stop until the entire world agreed to receive the government injection? Perhaps you've forgotten that the vaccine was not made for the virus. The virus was made for the vaccine. And here's a fun fact. Doctors in South Africa say that Omicron presents with relatively mild symptoms, seems to pass quickly, and is certainly not worse than Delta. So why the emergency? Because it's batter up and you're the ball. Today in the Prophecy News Podcast, we break it all down. We show you psychopathic madman Anthony Fauci, the gloves. We are taking the gloves off today. Not that we've ever spent much time beating around the bush, but we're going to spend no time beating around the bush today. And we're going to show you what a deranged psychopath that this man truly is. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these that you've gathered here in the chat room and the thousands listening, Lord. We are so grateful that you have expanded our coasts and increased our borders. And we just pray, Lord, that this increase, this harvest that you've been giving us, we pray it continues. We pray for lost souls today. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs. We pray for Greg and Melissa Price and Glenn Clark. We pray for Cheyenne, Bridget, and Tony with nephew Matthew. We pray for Trevor, Derek, Adam, and their families. We pray for Jordan. We pray for my three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David. We pray for Jesse for salvation, for Rachel's dad, Ralph, for the Bolton family, for Colby Bohan. Dina Long asked for prayers for her son, Jordan, as well as for Jim, Gail, and Tom. Jackie asked for prayers for salvation for her friend, Maria, for her grandparents and for her ex-husband and for his parents. David Peck for salvation. Susan Weirs-Bickey Salvation for Daughters, and Salvation for Husband and Son. Joshua Gaskins praying for his neighbors. Kentucky Jeffrey, Salvation for Tyler Tevin and daughter-in-law Caitlin. Jay and Bob from Wisconsin asking prayers for unsaved Catholic family members. Janet is praying for salvation for her boyfriend. Danielle for salvation. Connie, three children for salvation. Tulip, who is a middle-aged gypsy living in Turkey, praying for the entire family's salvation. Brandy, asking for prayers for her family's salvation. Rita in Colorado, asking for prayers for Dan's salvation. Ron for salvation. Spray of Sunshine, salvation for three sons, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon says salvation for Lori W. and Brian M. Patrick needs to be saved. Rick Dotson needs to be saved. Ron needs to be saved. Lori Ann is asking for salvation for her friend Pete and his daughter Allie. A lot of people on the salvation list today. Barbara Olson on the West Coast has a neighbor across the street. He was told to take the jab or lose his job. So he took the jab and lost his leg from a blood clot. I'm going to take my daughter Kelsey off of the prayer list for COVID. She's going back to work tomorrow. She thanks everybody so much for their prayers. And the Lord is giving her a healing. Thank you for that. Suzanne Wood asking for prayers for a family member who just received the jab and is having major nosebleeds. Also prayers for friend's daughter who took the jab and is full of blood clots. I hear so much of that. So many people contacting me saying, pray for my son, my daughter, my wife, my husband, my friend, my neighbor. Looks like it's blood clot season. Sammy in South Africa battling leukemia. Harmon's son Michael battling pancreatic cancer. Becky Markovich, cancer. Jerry Rogalski, fighting cancer. Leanne Kreitz, husband healing from a heart attack. Malia McLean, health complications from Lyme disease. Hal needs a lung transplant, and he doesn't want to take the vaccine. Dana's husband has medical issues and needs prayer. May Samuel needs healing. We are still praying for Paget and for Michael, involved in the transgender lifestyle. Kate is excited. The billboard is going up, I think, this week, and she's excited by that, and I'm excited to see it. Mark Bainbridge, ongoing stomach issues. Anna Gutierrez for conceiving a healthy baby with her husband. Suzanne Smith, severe back pain from an injury. Jackie Heyman needs the Lord's intervention concerning an issue, a custody issue with her son. Please keep her in your prayers. She's really getting hit hard out there in New Mexico from the legal system. So please keep Jackie Heyman in your prayers. Jeanette is trying to get into a rehab facility for her foot. Elizabeth and family, unspoken prayers. A lot of people with unspoken prayers today. Chelsea, out in the West Coast, she has a very strong unspoken prayer need today. The Lord knows the needs. Farzan needs prayer to be able to return to Turkey to continue to preach the word of the Lord. And she also is asking for prayers for her unsaved mom who has stage 3 cancer. Tara Brown and family having some financial issues in the Dominican Republic after they moved there. Please keep Tara and her husband and children in your prayers. Please remember our overseas ministers, Pastors John Redani and Arnell in the Philippines, Pastor Fojan in Vietnam, Luann in Turkey. She's an American from Sarasota ministering to the Muslims in Turkey. Please remember our NTEB street preachers, Kentucky Jeffrey in Ohio. Charlton is praying about becoming a street preacher. Amen. Don't rush that. Let the Lord work and move. The Lord called me to be a street preacher, and I waited 10 months before I responded to the call because I wanted to be sure it was from the Lord. And when I was sure that it was from the Lord, I jumped in with both feet and never jumped out. That was 9 years ago. God is not the least bit insulted if you take your time because you want to make sure that it's God leading you to do it and not the devil leading you to do it. Now you might say to me, well, the devil would never lead you to become a street preacher. Maybe he would. Maybe he would. And that's why you have to be very, very careful about things that you pray for and things that you pray about. And when you feel that God has put something on your heart, like becoming a street preacher, that is no small undertaking. Street preaching is an all-consuming vocation. And before you accept that call, you better be 1,000% sure it's the Lord and not the devil trying to tie you up. Because if you step out, and I don't mean to get sidetracked with this talk about street preaching, but street preaching is all-consuming. And if you're not 1,000% sure that the Lord has called you to do it, then don't do it. It will take a lot out of you. And if the Lord hasn't called you to do it, you'll crash and burn. But if the Lord has called you to do it, you'll win souls for his kingdom. Joshua Gaskins in Virginia. Up in Canada, we have Werner Bukes and Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian Breda, Greg Scott. In Australia, we have Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson. And we have Marie in Philadelphia. Every once in a while, people get on me and they say, how can you have a female street preacher? Well, if you're upset that there's a female street preacher in Philadelphia and you're a man of God, why don't you go to Philadelphia and why don't you preach? Maybe she's the street preacher in Philadelphia because the men won't step up and do it. I don't know. I get encouraged whenever I see anybody working for the Lord, anybody preaching for the Lord, anybody handing out gospel tracts. Jesus says that, look unto the fields, they are white unto harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers into his field. How about that prayer? And I'm glad that there's people like Marie in Philadelphia who have answered the call and are out there trying to get something done. We need more of that, not less of that. Waterdog says, praise report. My brother witnessed a family friend over the weekend. The friend is challenged with a terminal cancer. The hospital is sending him home for his last days on earth. He accepted Jesus as his one and only Savior. Amen. Amen. Then that will be a good homegoing. Rapture 57, pray for new believers, James, Tommy, Gina, and William. Shannon says, prayers for me for wisdom and unspoken prayer. Mike Hensel is asking for prayer for his mom to get stronger and for himself as he goes to see a knee specialist to see if there's anything that can be done to avoid a knee replacement. If that was me, brother, I would start taking collagen right away. Ancient Nutrition sells a 5 collagen blend. I can't remember the name of it. But anything having to do with your ligaments or your cartilage or any soft tissue, I would absolutely start taking collagen. But we will absolutely pray for that. Carolyn says, please pray for my nephew John. Has cancer, not doing well, needs to get saved. Shannon says, prayers for me in this ministry. Thank you. It's not just me. It's Lori Ann and Jeanette and Harmon and all the people that work in the bookstore. We all need your prayers. And I thank you very much for praying for us. Annabelle 380, prayers for my 6 children for salvation and my wife Vilma healing in her lungs from asthma. Guest Rob says, unspoken prayer request for salvation and for friends that I've witnessed to. Joshua Gaskin says, please pray for my 2 sisters. I found they took the jab to keep their job. Ugh, even though they said they wouldn't. Budgie for Jesus, please pray for an elderly street preacher I see in Toronto. Jeffrey Saponik says, please pray for my street preaching ministry in Scarborough, Ontario. I do the street preaching with my wife passing out the tracts. Amen, brother. And Lori Ann is going to put you on our list of NTEB street preachers. And please let us know if there's anything that we can do to help you. And we got a full prayer list today. And I'm grateful for that, and I'm glad for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for 200 people in the chat room and thousands listening live. Lord, we pray, as we always do, that something would be said and done to lead a lost soul to you. And Lord, we thank you for the souls that you have given us. We're hungry for more. And we ask you, Father God, during this time of harvest, lead us and direct us. Let everything be done for your glory, Lord. And for all those people struggling with cancer and COVID and blood clots and every manner of disease, Lord, please heal them. Please give them a healing, Father God. And most of all, give them salvation. And Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the NTEB family of believers. We thank you for every good and perfect thing that you give us, God. And we are so grateful to be saved today. And we commit this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad you're here. I don't normally play music during the podcast, but all those prayers for salvation, I got to play this before we get started.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Now my life's worth living, since I've been forgiven. Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down Amen. The wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say,
I'm not going to hell. The Savior, one story I tell. I'm saved.
How about you? Are you saved? If not, why not? The Bible says that if today you shall hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation.
I'm not going to hell.
How How about you? Where are you going?
I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
Because I'm saved by His power divine.
Yes, I'm saved.
I'm saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. And I'm not going to
hell. How about you? Are you saved? The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's what my King James Bible says. Over 30 years ago, I got down on my knees and I opened up that book. I turned to John chapter 3, verse 16, and I read that verse out loud. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then I read, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And then I read, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Amen. "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." If you're not saved today, I ask you to consider your eternal position. I ask you to consider what will happen 2 seconds after you close your eyes in death if you don't know Jesus Christ. You'll open your eyes in a burning, fiery place called hell. Hell is not the grave. Hell is not Hades. Hell is not Gehenna. Hell is hell. And it's located in the heart of our earth. And Jesus Christ on the cross went there for 3 days and three nights, dumping off your sin, paying the penalty for your sin. And all you have to do is accept Him as Lord and Savior. It's all you have to do. It's not complicated. Romans chapter 10 tells you how to do it. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. And I said all that to say this, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't worry about getting cleaned up, get saved. Don't worry about the hypocrites in the church. You'll be one of them in no time. Don't worry about that. Get saved. Don't worry about whether or not you can live it. You can't live it. He lives it through you. It's not about you. It's about Him. And if you'll trust Him as your... I don't know why. I was all set to go guns blazing after Anthony Fauci. But I think I'm talking to somebody right now who needs to get saved. I think I'm speaking directly. I don't know who it is. But I think I'm speaking right now to somebody who needs to get saved. Can you trust a perfect, sinless Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, whom I declare unto you as the light of the world, as the Savior of the world? The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And whoever you are, I want you to think about your eternal destiny right here and right now. And I want you to get saved. I want you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. Amen. I like it when the Spirit gets a hold of me like that. I was all set to go after Anthony Fauci. There's plenty of time to go after Fauci. But now is the time to find out if you're saved or not. All right, let's get into it. Well, over the weekend, Anthony Fauci made this amazing claim. Anthony Fauci says that all of the people who are trying to stop him and trying to slow him down, they are the problem. Anthony Fauci went on to a show called Face the Nation, been around for many decades. I'm sure you've heard of it. And Face the Nation is an obviously far-left liberal talking point organization. And they brought Anthony Fauci onto Face the Nation yesterday, not to face the nation, but to ask him ridiculous softball questions, absolutely meaningless nonsense fluff pieces, so that Anthony Fauci could laugh in your face and mock me and mock you. Take a listen to this clip. I honestly don't have words to describe it. When Penny sent me this yesterday, I about fell off my chair. I almost smashed my own monitor. That's how mad this clip made me. So you take a listen to this clip. Fauci saying that he is science and you and I are the problem.
Why do you feel so strongly about that, about staying on the job when you become, I mean, you were personally, not just rhetorically, threatened? Your security, your safety, your family.
Yeah.
How did you deal with that?
I dealt with it by focusing on what my job is. From the time that I went into medicine to the right now where I am at my age, my job has been totally focused on doing what I can with the talents and the influence I have to make scientific advances to protect the health of the American public. So anybody who spins lies and threatens and all that theater that goes on with some of the investigations and the congressional committees and the Rand Pauls and all that other nonsense, that's noise, Margaret. That's—
you hear what Fauci says? Anyone trying to hold him accountable, anybody trying to show that he obviously paid for gain-of-function research on the coronavirus. Did you hear what Fauci says? Could you hear the tone in his voice? He said, that's just a bunch of noise. This is how every Nazi general looked when they were talking into a camera. This is how Adolf Hitler thought. This is how Goebbels thought. This is how Himmler thought. That they were the ones that were right, and everybody else that stood in their way was just meaningless noise that needs to be drowned out.
It's noise. I know what my job is.
Senator Cruz told the Attorney General you should be prosecuted.
Yeah. I have to laugh at that.
What type of psychopath would laugh at that?
I should be prosecuted. What happened on January 6th, Senator?
Do you think that this is about making you a scapegoat to deflect
from
President Trump?
Of course. You have to be asleep not to figure that one out.
Well, there are a lot of Republican senators taking aim at this.
That's okay. I'm just going to do my job. And I'm going to be saving lives, and they're going to be lying.
I'm going to be saving lives, and they're going to be lying. Anthony Fauci is a murderer. I've told you the story many times on how his medicine protocol killed my older brother on December 4th, 1988. And he gave him a poison that was called AZT. Here's the verse that I think of whenever I think of Anthony Fauci. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's Anthony Fauci.
Seems another layer of danger to play politics around matters of life and death.
Exactly. Exactly. And to me, that's unbelievably bad, because all I want to do is save people's lives. I mean, anybody who's looking at this carefully realizes that there's a distinct anti-science flavor to this. So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there. So it's easy to criticize, but they're really criticizing science, because I represent science.
See that? Anthony Fauci says that he is science, and everything that comes out of his mouth is science.
That's dangerous. To me, that's more dangerous than the slings and the arrows that get thrown at me. And if you damage science, you are doing something very detrimental to society long after I leave.
Anthony Fauci also said this.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course, of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
When I think about my dad growing up, I certainly think about that seriousness. But very few people get to see. He's funny, weird, and really playful.
God help us.
In 1981, HIV/AIDS was evolving rapidly and frighteningly. There was anger at the government's response.
When you got sick, you were gone fast.
It's affecting you now.
Yeah.
Why?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
You're a murderer.
When COVID hit, he became this target.
My dad said, we're going to get through this whole thing. And he's held back.
You don't do it because you want to make money. You don't do it for the glory. You do it because you care.
When you're involved in a race to stop a horrible disease, you always feel you're not doing things quickly enough.
Anthony Fauci is the horrible disease. When Donald Trump was president, approximately 370,000 people died while he was president from COVID. In the less than 1 year that Joe Biden has been president, approximately 410,000 people have died from COVID. And there's a little bit of a debate going back and forth about more people dying under Biden than less people dying under Donald Trump. But that's a ridiculous debate, because it doesn't matter if 370,000 people died under Trump and 410,000 people died under Anthony Fauci. see, there's my Freudian slip. Died under Joe Biden. 777,000 people in America died under Anthony Fauci. And that's the real lesson that you have to look at. And now this new variant has been released, Omicron. And Anthony Fauci says that he is not ruling out lockdowns just in time for Christmas. If you're a regular listener of this podcast, you know that I've been telling you from the very beginning that the variants are never going to stop, and they're going to be used as the perpetual ongoing excuse to force you to get vaccinated. Now, over the last 6 months, the definition of what fully vaccinated means has changed two or three times. Now there's a new definition of fully vaccinated. It's not taking the one shot from J&J. It's not taking the two shots from Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna, or AstraZeneca. It is not taking the first booster or the second booster. The new protocol is going to be vaccinations and perpetual boosters. And you have to remember that we've told you from the very beginning, the vaccine was not made for the virus. The virus was made for the vaccine. And I told you that there is going to be no end of the variants. I'd like to go to Google and find out what the COVID rate is for the county that I live in, St. John's County. 7-day average here in St. John's County, zero new cases. And it is absolutely flatlined. There's a couple of stray cases here and there, but all things being equal, in St. John's County where I live, COVID has been reduced to just a handful of cases, and that's relatively easily manageable. Like my daughter who got sick 2 weeks ago. She didn't have to be rushed to the hospital. She didn't get put on a ventilator. She didn't need oxygen. Why? Well, she's saved and she trusts the Lord with her health. I've put her on vitamins since the day she was born. And when she was diagnosed with COVID, we just followed the natural health protocols. I made sure that she was fully stocked with her vitamins and other things like probiotics and liquid ginger and all sorts of fun stuff like that. Drinking liquid cayenne pepper, that'll wake you up. And I thank the Lord that my daughter, she had it rough for a couple of days, but she's healing now. And why is she healing? Because COVID has a 98.8% recovery rate. What does she need a vaccination for? Has everybody forgotten? Anthony Fauci says, follow the science. Well, the science says that the God who created us gave us an immune system. And if you think some rushed chemical concoction from Big Pharma, where they're, by the end of next year, Pfizer is going to have $65 billion in profits. If you think that some chemical crap from their laboratory is better than the immune system that God gave you, well, there's something wrong with the way that you think. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And here it is, Proverbs 3:8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It's only in the last 100 years that doctors and scientists have figured out how much good stuff that there is in bone marrow. How many YouTube videos have you seen about bone marrow broth and how healthy that is for you? I have a friend of mine, Clayton Perry. We've been praying for him. He's been battling cancer. And he's having a stem cell treatment from his own bone marrow this week. Please keep Clayton Perry in your prayers. But the point of what I'm saying is, Anthony Fauci says he follows the science, but he doesn't follow the science at all. He follows the pharmaceutics, not the science. And Big Pharma is driven by money. How else do you explain record-breaking profits for Moderna and Pfizer and AstraZeneca and J&J? And they've gotten so greedy for the profits Now they're trying to create these pills, these antiviral pills. You can't cure AIDS in 40 years, but you want me to believe that in 20 weeks, 5 months, you were able to create a vaccine to get rid of COVID. That is such a lie. That is unbelievably ridiculous. I worked in Big Pharma for 15 years, so don't tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. It's like when people get mad at me for speaking so strongly against the Catholic Church. Don't kid me, man. I was a Roman Catholic for 30 years. I went to 12 years of private Jesuit and Franciscan schools. I was an altar boy. I was trained in the dark arts of Roman Catholicism. So when I speak about the Roman Catholic Church, I speak as an expert because I was there for 30 years. And when I speak about Big Pharma, I speak as an expert because I was there for 15 years. I sat in the meetings with the high-level people, with the CEO of the company. And with my own ears, I have heard things about drugs that would, if you were to hear those same things, would make you go running out of the room screaming. If you knew what a dirty business that Big Pharma really was. Now, I'm not saying that none of their products do any good, because some of their products do good. Like hydroxychloroquine. That's a good product that they made. How about a little something called ivermectin? That's a product that's so good. 6 years ago, they gave a Nobel Peace Prize to the man that invented it. Now, just coincidentally, because hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are very cheap to produce, I think a tablet of ivermectin costs about 20 or 30 cents. That's nowhere near as exciting as getting the government payoff of $32,000 for each COVID patient that you take in. Dr. Ruckman used to say, if something doesn't make sense, follow the money. If something doesn't make sense, there's a buck in it. And he was very, very correct about that. So now we're dealing with the Omicron. And it doesn't seem to be very deadly at all. In fact, let's take a listen from the doctor who first discovered this variant in South Africa. Why don't we listen to what she has to say if we're going to follow the science? Let's see what this doctor in South Africa, the doctor who discovered the Omicron variant, let's see how bad and scary it really is. Let's see if it justifies a global lockdown. Let's see if it justifies a xenophobic travel ban against Africans.
Joining us is one of the first doctors to uncover the new strain. That is Dr. Angelique Kotse, chairperson of the South African Medical Association, and somebody who we should all be listening to right now. Doctor, I really appreciate you joining us this morning. An important interview. I hope we have the time.
So I'm just going to stop him right there. He just introduced this doctor from South Africa. He called this woman a very important doctor, and he said that she is somebody that we should all be listening to right now. All right? I want you to remember that as she begins to speak and to tell you what she found out about the Omicron variant.
Publishing stuff from you and some of your colleagues on Twitter yesterday and over the weekend, I saw Professor Salim Karim saying that current vaccines may actually still be effective against Omicron. From your vantage point, what do we know right now, and what might the world and some world leaders be getting wrong?
Good morning, and good morning to all your viewers out there. So, yeah, that's a very interesting question. So there's two things that we can look at it from two angles. The one is, what do we know? Is what are we as clinical practitioners or family practitioners see on ground level? And what are our current ICU status? And then on the other hand, the other angle is, what are the scientists seeing and their experience? Because it's two, I want to say it's actually two worlds. One is a scientific world and the other one is the clinical world. So at this stage, in what we are observing is mild cases. As in this morning, I already saw three cases, but all three children under the age one, the oldest was 13, and then a 10-year-old, and I think the other one is 7 years old. So mild cases, again, easily treated at home. The cases that we have seen.
She has a little bit of an accent, so let me just focus on something that she just said. Three cases presenting in children, and you just heard her say, quote, mild cases, easily treatable at home. That's what the doctor who discovered the Omicron variant says. The three cases that she saw, mild cases, easily treatable at home.
Last week and the week before last week, also mild cases. So we are looking for the severe cases, because the severe cases is what's going to say we are in trouble. I presume that might come later, but not now. Now it's mild symptoms, easily treated at home.
Okay, the data we were looking at, and I published some national South African data showing that across the nation, hospitalizations are well down from your winter. However, in the Gauteng province, Johannesburg, one of the most densely populated areas in the world, we have seen hospitalizations triple off their lows of a couple of weeks ago. Can you tell us what the current trend of hospitalizations is and what we may know about who is in the hospital, vaccinated, unvaccinated, old, young, etc., doctor?
So that data is not available currently. So even if the numbers are, you know, it's, I'm not sure where the data is coming up that from that the numbers tripled in the hospitals, because in the Pretoria region hospitals, which is the epicenter, I did a survey yesterday, and mostly two patients. I know of one patient that's been ventilated currently in one of the private hospitals, and the others are there before we have started to see on the 18th of November.
So do you hear what she said? She said, I don't know where that data is coming from, because we're not seeing that here in Pretoria, South Africa. So as the interviewer keeps trying to steer the thing to the conclusion that Omicron is this big, scary new variant, the doctor keeps, and I think that, I mean, I give her a lot of credit. She really holds her ground very well. And she says, no, mild cases, easily treatable, and we're not seeing hospital overload here in Pretoria, South Africa.
These cases. So, you know, it might be that the public sector hospital seeing a bigger influx of patients. And then again, I'm also not aware that they are under any strain at this stage of the gun. Again, that might change. I know that Balakwana Hospital is where Prof. Ruda is. They have seen a few young people with comorbidities coming into the ICU. Whether that's Omicron or Delta, I don't know.
Yeah, that is coming, by the way, from the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. So I published the website yesterday, and that's kind of what here in the U.S. a lot of people in the media, including myself, are looking at and sending around. Should we not be looking at that data for the accurate or at least entire picture, Dr. Coetzee?
Yes, we can look at that, the data. You know, I'm also looking at our data that we have seen today from Discovery Health. And again, there's nothing significant that say, yes, we are moving into a real problem going forward. We will have to look, and we keep on saying, going forward, within the next 2 weeks, we will know what is happening. If you look at the data in Gauteng, if you looked at the data, you will notice that yesterday, out of 12,300 patients tested, only 2,300 was positive. And again, we're not aware of massive admissions to hospitals. It's not there. Not in the Pretoria region.
Well, that's very, very good news. And, you know, and as I pointed out,
So did you hear what she said? We're not aware of all these emergency cases. We don't see what you're talking about happening in our hospitals. And she's the doctor that discovered the Omicron variant. She's not alarmed. She's not concerned. It seems to be transmissible, but the symptoms seem to be less than the Delta variant.
Africa has some of the world's, if not the world's, leading virology labs and research scientists, because you and your colleagues have been dealing with so many viruses. You've been fighting HIV and AIDS for so many years that you are identifying some of these mutations before the rest of the world. Do you feel like, because you did identify and share this mutation and allowing scientists and vaccine makers to sequence the data, do you feel like South Africa is then sort of getting almost a bad rap in terms of the virus, because many people are saying, well, this is where it, quote, came from? We do not know the origins of this strain, do we, Dr. Coetzee? You simply sequenced it, identified it, and shared it.
Yes, you are absolutely correct. And that's the tragedy of it all. You know, we try to do due diligence. Our clinician, our scientist said, listen, look, this is what we have seen. We share the data. We're telling you there are 30 plus mutations. We don't know what it means. We don't know what it means going forward. Exactly what they did with the Beta variant, which was detected in South Africa. Also, and they also then alerted the rest of the world. But this time, the world reacted different towards us. And again, as in any pandemic, it's very, very early wave. This is very, very early days. We are mostly seeing young people coming in. The elderly that I have seen, and that we have, with positive tests that has been vaccinated, again, mild cases, really, really mild cases. No one has been need for any hospitalization. So it might change, because if the unvaccinated people with comorbidities get sick going forward, yes, they will be admitted. But that's not to say that the vaccine didn't work, because they were not vaccinated.
All right, that was a long clip, but I wanted to play the whole thing so that you could hear from the doctor in South Africa, in Pretoria, South Africa, the doctor who was responsible for identifying the Omicron variant. She said three different times, the symptoms are mild. People recovered at home just fine. Nobody needed to be hospitalized with the Omicron variant. And yet, what does the World Health Organization say? The World Health Organization is sounding the alarm, and they are telling you how dangerous this is. Israel has issued the order banning all foreigners from entering in their country. And all across Europe, they're doing the same thing. America has issued a travel ban against anybody trying to come to America from Africa or any of the seven South African nations that are located on the African continent. Isn't it amazing how quickly they sounded that alarm? Do you know why they sounded that alarm when there was absolutely no need to sound that alarm? Because they have a mission. And their mission is to stick a hypodermic needle into the arm of every human being on the face of the earth. That has always been the mission. That will never stop being the mission. And if you think that Omicron is the last variant, you are deceiving yourselves. Right now, they have the next six or seven variants all lined up like airplanes on a runway. And they're going to wait until the next COVID level begins to drop. And then they're going to release these variants. And this is all part of the plan. And Anthony Fauci can laugh like a psychopath. And he can say that everybody who tries to hold him to be accountable is nothing but noise. He can say that till the cows come home. But we know what the truth is. And the truth is...
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch sponsored by... Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360. Brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference. Brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Early Start.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front.
Brought to this you is by why Pfizer.
This week with George Stephanopoulos.
The mainstream media is never going to change their tune.
We're brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press data download brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet. Sponsored by Pfizer.
So there you have it. Anthony Fauci is saying that everybody who tries to hold him to account, that we're just nothing but noise. And he laughed in our faces. Yeah, you know what? Let's hear this one more time. And I'm not going to jump in with comments. It's only 2 minutes long. I want you to listen to what Anthony Fauci thinks of you.
Why do you feel so strongly about that, about staying on the job when you become, I mean, you were personally, not just rhetorically, threatened? Your security, your safety, your family.
Yeah.
How did you deal with that?
I dealt with it by focusing on what my job is. From the time that I went into medicine to the right now where I am at my age, my job has been totally focused on doing what I can with the talents and the influence I have to make scientific advances to protect the health of the American public. So anybody who spins lies and threatens and all that theater that goes on with some of the investigations and the congressional committees and the Rand Pauls and all that other nonsense, that's noise, Margaret. That's noise. I know what my job is.
Senator Cruz told the Attorney General you should be prosecuted.
Yeah. I'd have to laugh at that. I should be prosecuted. What happened on January 6th, Senator?
Do you think that this is about making you a scapegoat to deflect
from
President Trump?
Of course. You have to be asleep not to figure that one out.
Well, there are a lot of Republican senators taking aim at this.
That's okay. I'm just going to do my job. And I'm going to be saving lives, and they're going to be lying.
It seems another layer of danger to play politics around matters of life and death.
Exactly. Exactly. And to me, that's unbelievably bad, because all I want to do is save people's lives. I mean, anybody who's looking at this carefully realizes that there's a distinct anti-science flavor to this. So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there. So it's easy to criticize. But they're really criticizing science, because I represent science. That's dangerous. To me, that's more dangerous than the slings and the arrows that get thrown at me. And if you damage science, you are doing something very detrimental to society long after I leave.
Just a reminder that at the bookstore today, all day until midnight tonight, we are having our first ever Cyber Monday book sale. And we have put, believe it or not, we have put our best-selling books on sale, including the Ruckman Reference Bible, Fox's Book of Martyrs, New Age Bible versions. So if you've been waiting for a sale to go shopping and to get your books, today's the day. It started at midnight last night, and it's going to go to midnight tonight. The NTEB Cyber Monday sale at the bookstore. Just go to BibleBeliever.com and check it out. Fantastic sales on our best-selling books, and we invite you to go to BibleBeliever.com and check it out. All right, so there you have Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci telling you to follow the science. Anthony Fauci telling you that you can't possibly be safe without a vaccine. How about this story that came across my radar just a couple of hours ago? You know the singer, Bryan Adams? He had a song back in the 80s called Cuts Like a Knife. And I haven't listened to him in a long time. But he's a Canadian singer. His name is Bryan Adams. And he's in the hospital right now. Let me read to you why he's in the hospital. For the second time in 1 month, singer Bryan Adams says he has tested positive for COVID-19, announcing the news in an Instagram post published Thursday and saying that he was headed to the hospital as a result. And he writes, "Here I am, just arrived in Milano, and I've tested positive for the second time in a month for COVID, so it's off to the hospital for me. Thanks for all your support." The article goes on to say, the news of his latest diagnosis comes just weeks after Adams pulled out of a planned performance at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony after he had tested positive for coronavirus in October. He told Billboard at the time that the diagnosis of Adams was that he was fully vaccinated and had no symptoms at all. So here you have Bryan Adams, big famous singer. He gets COVID twice in the same month after becoming fully vaccinated. Why does he need to be vaccinated? He gets the vaccine, then he gets COVID, not once, not twice. And now he's in the hospital. Why on earth did he need to receive that vaccine? I can't think of any reason why. So Bryan Adams is in the hospital right now. Pray that he gets saved and pray that he gets healed. But people just don't stop to think. If I can still get COVID and still go to the hospital, what do I need to risk the blood clots from a vaccine for? Anthony Fauci also said over the weekend that the United States should be prepared to do anything and everything, including lockdowns, to fight the new Omicron variant of the COVID-19 virus. Anchor George Stephanopoulos asked him, should we expect to be seeing more lockdowns again, new lockdowns, and more mandates? Fauci said, I don't know. It's really too early to say. But we need to be prepared to do that. He says, we'll make decisions based on the science and the evidence the way that we always do. I want to see if I can find that clip that I have of Fauci. I think it was from DC Shorts. Fauci doing nothing but lying, and they took all the clips and they put it together. I want to see if I can find that clip. But he is such a horrific liar. He does nothing but lie. and he's been lying the entire time. No, I can't find that clip, but if I ever come across it, I'll play it for you. You can go to YouTube to DC Shorts, and he has flip-flopped so many times, he has changed his mind so many times, that for him to even jokingly say that he follows the science, misinformation, disinformation, outright lies. Well, what are you going to do? All right, switching gears here just slightly. I want to talk about the metaverse. Lot going on. A lot of people think that the metaverse is a creation of Mark Zuckerberg. And it's not. The metaverse has existed for longer than Facebook. The idea of the metaverse is probably close to 80 or 90 years old. Mark Zuckerberg just happens to be the most high-profile person to talk about it, and the most high-profile person to announce the plans of what he's going to do. But he did not invent the metaverse, not even close. Meta is a Greek word, which means after this or beyond. After this or beyond. And when I looked up the definition of that word a couple of weeks ago, it made me think of something instantly from Revelation chapter 4. If the word meta means beyond this or after this, Revelation 4:1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. The first four words of Revelation 4:1 are, after this I looked. That's absolutely the definition of the word meta. Beyond this, after this. King James Bible's never going to lead you down the wrong path. The King James Bible is going to be right 10 out of 10 times. Here's one of my favorite words in a King James Bible. The word matrix. M-A-T-R-I-X. You won't find this word in the NIV, the ASV, the RSV, the ESV. You won't find it in Good News for Modern Man. You won't find it in the Promise, the Passion Translation, the Cipher Bible, the New Jerusalem Bible, the Hebrew Bible, the Greek Bible. Now, this is one of those words that is originates with the King James Bible, the word matrix. And I'm in the process now. We're going to do a Bible study in the next couple of weeks on this word matrix. There's a lot of preparation that has to go into that study, and I am currently doing it. But suffice to say that that word matrix, it appears five times in your King James Bible. Exodus 34:19, all that openeth the matrix is mine, and every firstling among the cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. Numbers 3:12, and I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix. Numbers 18:15, everything that openeth the matrix. Exodus 13:12, thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix. So, as I get ready to play this next clip for you, I want you to think about this King James word, this dusty old Elizabethan English King James Bible word. This word is more up to date than tomorrow's headlines. There's a reason why the word matrix is in the Bible. There's a reason why every tech billionaire on the face of the earth is working to create the metaverse. The metaverse is the matrix. There is no difference. Remember when the Matrix came out in 1999? I do. I watched it like 10 times in a row. There is so much Bible all over that movie. Now, how do you think that lost people and the two brothers that produced that movie have since gone on to be transgenders? I mean, these people are as lost could ever possibly be. And yet, God used them to make a movie called The Matrix 22 years ago. And I'm sure it's just an amazing coincidence, but The Matrix is in the Bible. Take a listen to this from Jason A.
But maybe it's a glitch in The Matrix.
Yes.
CEO Mark Zuckerberg introduced what he calls the metaverse.
It speaks a thousand words about the world we live in. Look around you. You see filters everywhere. Are we living far from reality?
Try to realize the truth. There is no spoon.
I'm amazed at their point of view about reality and about the human brain.
It altered people's thoughts. What is real? What is reality?
Even in my own life, just looking around and being like, oh my God, we're in the Matrix. I would literally think that.
Mr. Anderson.
It's sort of impossible to articulate how it's seeped into our minds and culture. I can't even remember not having seen it. I can't remember my life before the world of the Matrix.
What do you know you can't explain? But you feel it.
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is?
The Matrix as an idea has lasted 20 years. People use terminology like, are you going to take the red pill?
You're either going to take that blue pill or you're going to take the red.
Everything entered pop culture and stayed. We say a glitch in the Matrix. The fact that that's part of the lexicon.
Oh, déjà vu.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, he appears to have gone a bit crazy this week, renaming his company to Meta and then going on a strange rant about how we're all going to be living in our computers.
So let me just stop that clip right there. I'm seeing a number of comments in the chat room saying, oh, I would never watch The Matrix and that movie is just garbage. Well, you should watch The Matrix because God is all over that movie. And I understand that that movie was created by lost people. And I understand that they took a lot of things from the King James Bible to put in their movie. But when I watch that movie, The Matrix, I see these people being controlled by Almighty God to give Bible believers the heads up about what's coming. The Bible says this, the Lord shall do nothing, but he shall reveal his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, in the Old Testament, there were actual prophets. In the New Testament, in the church age, we are prophets because we prophesy what the Bible has already written. And everyone who is a Bible believer is called to prophesy. I'm not talking about some strange, emotionally charged blabbering in tongues or thinking that you can predict the future like Kim Clements or any of that nonsense. I'm talking about prophesying the future by understanding what the book of Revelation has to say, by understanding how the book of Revelation is connected to the book of Daniel, by understanding the book of Zechariah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Joel. If you're born again, if you're saved, if you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, you can absolutely prophesy the future biblically and with God's blessing. You can tell people what's coming because the King James Bible tells you what's coming. Why do you think that I've been telling everybody for a year and a half now, if you only memorize one verse of the Bible, I want you to memorize Habakkuk 1:5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. It is happening right now. It has been happening for the last 23 months, 21 months. Not quite sure how many months, 626 days of 15 days to flatten the curve. Bible prophecy is not one day someday. It's not coming soon to a theater near you. It is happening in front of your eyes right now. And do you think it's a coincidence that the movie The Matrix, named after a word that is almost exclusive to the King James Bible, and every single instance in your King James Bible where it talks about the Matrix, it talks about something that is opening up. Now, if you can't see the prophetical applications between those five verses of a very odd and unique word like matrix that every single one of the modern versions erases and replaces, and we're living in a time of global deception, we're living in a time where the whole world has gone insane, where they have taken a gain-of-function virus and released it, killing millions of people in order to drive everyone who's not dead to take a vaccine that's not a vaccine, but it's gene editing technology. And you haven't seen The Matrix yet? You should go watch it tonight. I highly, highly recommend that you watch The Matrix. Now, do you think it's a coincidence? And I think it's going to be a Christmas time movie. They're getting ready to make another installment of The Matrix. What is this installment called? It is called The Matrix Resurrection. And who do you think is about to be resurrected? I mean, if you had a guess. If you just had to throw caution to the wind, who do you think is in the process of becoming resurrected? Somebody that's been living in his own place for the last 2,000 years. Judas Iscariot is getting ready to come up out of his own place. Judas Iscariot is going to rent the body, possibly of Emmanuel Macron. The Antichrist is coming, my friends. And when he does, we're out of here on Flight 777. The Matrix is the King James Bible word. And in just a few weeks, they're going to release The Matrix Resurrection at exactly the same time that tech billionaires are spending $100 billion to make the Matrix, what they call the Matrix, it's the metaverse, into a reality. And I'm the conspiracy theory guy? And I'm the crazy nut? I don't think so.
Imagine you put on your glasses or headset and you're instantly in your home space. It has parts of your physical home recreated virtually. It has things that are only possible virtually. And it has an incredibly inspiring view of whatever you find most beautiful.
A platform where users will interact in virtual and augmented realities.
This is a crazy idea, that you're going to give your life to some sort of augmented or virtual reality world that's created by a guy who's involved in this company whose algorithms are sowing the seeds of distrust and hate. But now we're going to let him take over what you see and feel. because you're going to have a new company, and this new company is going to be virtually reality based, where he's literally he reenacted a scene from Black Mirror.
Yeah, well,
which is unironically.
It was only a matter of time before one of these tech billionaires decided to build their own Matrix. I get that in a pandemic, it is useful to have these extra channels of communication when FaceTime is limited, but the degree of virtual immersion he is proposing surely cannot be good for the generation of young people who have been left riddled with mental health issues and anxiety from his products.
Bella Hadid is opening up about her mental health. On Tuesday, the 25-year-old supermodel shared a screen recording of Willow Smith on her Instagram.
She's one of the most popular faces on Reddit.
So we'll just stop that clip right there, but I think you get the point. All these tech billionaires, they're creating the Matrix. Nobody spends $100 billion on something that might work. Nobody invests that much time, that much effort, that many resources into something that maybe has a shot of coming to pass. So I'm here to tell you that if you haven't seen the original movie, The Matrix, you need to go and watch that movie. And I want you to have your King James Bible open as you watch it. And I want you to make notes every time you hear something from that movie, The Matrix, and I'm talking about the original one. I want you to write down on a notebook every Bible reference that you hear. And there are dozens and dozens of Bible references in that movie. And then I want you to think about how 22 years later, after that movie was created, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, Jeffrey Bezos, all of the Silicon Valley tech billionaires, Google, they are all working on the metaverse. And it's going to be a virtual reality system that is going to suck you in and never let you out. It is going to mess with your brain. It's going to mess with your mind. It's going to mess with your feelings and your emotions. And the part that you really got to wrap your heads around is that when the metaverse is finally rolled out, it's going to be very alluring, very enticing. It's going to seem like the greatest invention in human history. And I am telling you, do not spend one day in the metaverse. And I know it sounds like I'm a crazy person. And I know it sounds like I'm giving you just conspiracy theory. But I am telling you, I am warning you, have nothing to do with virtual reality, have nothing to do with the metaverse. And then after you watch The Matrix, I want you to go find a movie called Apocalypse 2 Revelation. And you can find that movie on pureflix.com. It's called Apocalypse 2 Revelation. And what happens in that movie? A blind woman goes into the metaverse where she is given her eyesight back. And all she has to do is take the mark of the beast. And the whole scene happens while the woman is wearing virtual reality glasses. So I am telling you, do not spend one moment, not one day, in the metaverse, because you may never get out, even if you're saved. Because you got to remember that even though that we are born again, we have a quickened spirit and we have a born again soul, We don't have born-again flesh. And you got to be careful where you take your flesh to, because you can get trapped and maybe never get out until you die. The metaverse is not going to unsave you, obviously. But it is something that is diabolical. Absolutely diabolical. And I promise you that I will never spend one moment in the metaverse. Social media is as far as I go. And I have no problem plundering the enemy's kingdom on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and Gab. I have no problem doing that at all. But social media is not an immersive system. I don't have to shut my eyes to go into it. I don't have to have images flooding my mind with my eyes closed. And social media is as far as I'm going to go. But there is a lot more coming. I hope that this program was illuminating for you today. We are living in a time where Bible prophecy is being fulfilled as we watch. There is no question about it. Bible prophecy is coming true on a day-by-day basis. In just a couple of months, they're going to open up the Abrahamic Family House in Abu Dhabi. The Abraham Accords are doing better than ever. And we are getting very, very close to seeing a divided Israel in the two-state solution. What does Joel chapter 3 verse 2 say? Well, it anticipates the two-state solution. Joel chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people, the Jews, and my heritage, Israel, Jerusalem, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. If you have a paper Bible, I want you to underline, highlight, and star the last four words of Joel 3:2. And parted my land. We are living in a time where we are about to see the parting of Israel take place. And I believe that we will see that, or at least the process, before the rapture happens. One last reminder, we are having our Cyber Monday sale. If you've been waiting for a really good time to buy some of those books that we talk about, just go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the icon for the Cyber Monday sale. And these sale prices, they're pretty good. And we have put the sale prices, not on the cheap stuff, but we have put the sale prices on our best-selling items. Now, why would we put the sale prices on our best-selling items? Well, the reason why that we do that is because our desire is not so much to make a profit selling books, but our fervent desire is to help you to understand the Bible better so you can share it with the people that God has put into your life to witness to. Remember in Acts chapter 8, when the Holy Spirit says to Philip, I want you to go to the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Holy Spirit kind of flies Philip over to where the eunuch is sitting in his chariot. In Acts 8:29, it says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandeth what thou readest. And you know what that eunuch said in Acts 8:31? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, the Ethiopian eunuch is the first person saved in the church age. He is the first person, he's a black person, he's a Gentile person, and the Ethiopian eunuch is the first person to get saved in the church age. And we see the church age principle of Bible study, where people who have learned the scripture go and teach it to the people who desire to learn the scripture. And that is a church age, New Testament, biblical principle. And that's why we put our best-selling books on sale, so that you can learn more about the Bible. And with that, we've come to the end of our time today. Thank you so much for being part of the NTEB family of Bible believers. I really appreciated the day off that I had yesterday. I really got some good rest. I got to recharge. And so many of you wrote to me telling me that you were praying for me. I can't respond to them all, but I read them all. And your prayers are so very important to me. Thank you so very much. I feel recharged. I feel fit as a fiddle and ready to go another 100,000 miles. So, Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night for another edition of the NTEB Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody. And go to BibleBeliever.com and buy some books.
We've been fighting a long time, and we have all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone. But you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important you are. If you're listening to this, you are the resistance.
No more sickness.